This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello there, it's the Anfield app in Anfield. Looking fabulous, Gareth Roberts, but obviously the main man. The winner of the embodiment of the Liverpool Football Club Awards 1920. Got it in one. Jordan Henderson there. And Jordan, just first and foremost, and it's the most obvious question in the world, how happy were you and are you? What a year. Champions League, World Club Cup, Super Cup, and then 30-year wait, Premier League winner. It seems like it's basic to say, but you've been here for so long. How happy have you been with what's happened across the last 12 months?
I probably wouldn't be able to describe the feeling, to be honest. I thought it was good winning the Champions League, but I just got better and better, you know. To win trophies so quick after that, Super Cup, World Club Championships, and now Premier League in the space of a year has been incredible, really, you know. Something that we haven't even dreamed about doing. It's just an amazing feeling. But I'm so happy for the team, first and foremost, of course, because I see how hard they work every single day and they deserve it. But also the fans, you know, I think they've waited so long for the Premier League trophy. So to be able to give them something back that they've been waiting such a long time for is so special. And I know the team feel exactly the same.
And Jordan, congratulations on a fantastic season. I think one of the reasons that you've won this award, we haven't gone and asked everyone who voted for you, but I think it's because a lot of people are happy for you, are happy for the journey that you've been on while you've been at Liverpool. And we're putting something together at the minute at the Anfield app. So we've been looking at old footage of you when you first arrived and you were first doing press conferences. And you know, you're a young lad then, aren't you? And you looked a little bit nervous at times, and I think you've had to grow into the role. But I think as well, I wonder how much you sort of embrace the city, if you like, and the values of the city, because I know you're from here, but you're from a working class background, from Sunderland. How much has Liverpool sort of got inside you in terms of you knowing how much winning the league would mean to this city?
Oh, massively. You know, to be honest, I felt that when I first come to the club, I felt a lot of my values was very similar to the fan base at Liverpool and the culture at Liverpool, you know, in terms of, like you say, I was from a working class background, and the fans are so passionate about the football club, about football. It was very similar to when I was at Sunderland. But obviously Liverpool is a huge club, you know. It's worldwide, everywhere you go there's Liverpool fans. It's, for me, the biggest club in the world. So I knew how big it was, but the values, I felt as though I had them values from the start, you know. Even when things maybe weren't going so well, I still felt like I loved the football club, I loved the city, and I could sense how passionate they were for the club. So to be on this journey, you know, over the last 9 years that I've been here, that's just grew, and I've grew into a player here, a better player, a better person, really, and that comes down a lot of the city and the fans.
And how hard has it been at times for you as well? Because like I say, you know, we feel like we've been on a journey with you as well, and everyone knows about some of the points of that journey. Obviously, you know, a red card in 13, 14, and a lot of people say that was, including me, that was very central to us not going on and then winning the league. Obviously, under Brendan Rodgers, the possibility of you leaving and you deciding to stay. You know, how hard were some of them points for you in your life to carry on going, to keep on going, to want to prove any, you know, doubt is wrong and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there were tough moments, definitely looking back. It definitely affected us as a person, for sure, when I first come. But at the same time, I look back now and I'm so glad that I had their moments in that journey, because it made us stronger, it made us extra motivated, if you like, to prove people wrong and to show that I deserve to be here, and that I could play for Liverpool and be an important player. So I still look back now and think, of course there were tough times, but times that I needed really to go through, to experience that, to become stronger and to react in the right way. And yeah, I'm so happy that I did go through that journey.
Just on this sort of, like, you know, we've all not won the league a lot. Robbo got his first season tickets in the summer of 1990. That's 30 years of turning up to Anfield and not winning the league. Fair play to him. But, right, within that, you've got 13, 14. But then even last season, with all the lads, 18, 19, come so close, 97 points. Brilliant in Madrid. Absolutely phenomenal stuff. But do you think there was a real sort of sense of, because what we do at the start of this season is incredible. You know, those first 25 games, to win 24 of them is just outrageous. Do you think there was a real sense of all of those players thinking, we've got to do this now, we've got to pull together? Because for me, I think English football may never see anything like that again, to be honest with you. That run of sheer every single week. 38 cup finals is a cliche, but everyone played every match like it was a cup final. Do you think that was the players just thinking, we're just all doing this between us, we've got to win this thing, whatever it takes?
I think after Champions League was a big moment for us. I think to get over the line and win a major trophy was huge, especially after just losing out on the league a few weeks before. And then from that point, obviously, the confidence that you get from that really helped us, but also used it as motivation to want more. You know, once you've had a taste of it, you want more and more, and you want to keep going. And we knew, of course, Premier League, and the fans have been waiting so long for a Premier League, that was high on the priority list. But to be honest, the gaffer really, that's, I mean, when throughout the season you'll have seen me doing press and saying we take each game as it comes, and that sounds a bit cliche, but actually that is the mentality that the manager sets from us, really. And it is, every game is like a cup final. You play every game like your last game. And I feel as though that's exactly what we did. Yeah. You know, especially in the Premier League, performance level was so high and so consistent that, yeah, it was like we're playing our last game every single time. And I think that's really important, and you need to continue that on for long periods of time.
You've sort of soaked up everything that, you know, Gareth talked about, the near stuff. I was dead interested how you responded on the night we won it on Sky, that you were just that almost pent up emotion. Was that sort of because you'd been waiting and waiting, and there'd been that sort of, you couldn't relax? You know, we could relax. I was saying, I went to Leicester away and I came out and I went, they won that, but you couldn't do that because you've still got to go. Was it just this sort of, you know, you've been living in the city, experiencing it, that sort of feeling so fantastic at that moment, that it was just overwhelming? Because to me, it just told such a story of someone who wanted it and cared so much.
Yeah, I think it is that, you know, I knew how much it meant to people.
Yeah.
I know how much it means to me, which is everything. But I know how much it means to the lads, which is a big thing for me, you know, and how much they want to win. And you see all the hard work that goes into it day to day. But also the fans, you know, how much they want to win, and how much they love the football club and they live for this football club to be successful. So I knew what it meant, and yeah, them few weeks after Premier League before the final were tough. You know, they were tough, the build up. I didn't like it, how long it was. You know, when I was waking up, it was the first thing I was thinking about. When I was going to bed, it was the last thing I was thinking about. You know, it was constant. You know, I just wanted to play. So to finally get over the line and to win the Champions League was a huge moment for me, but for the football club and for the team as well.
Well, when you've had the 9 years experience that you have now at Liverpool, and as you said before, grown from the player you were then to the player you are now, what kind of stuff are you saying to some of the younger lads now that are on the periphery of the first team? I'm thinking, so Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, Nico Williams, those type of lads. you know, lads with bags of talent, but lads at the other end of the career, with no disrespect to you age-wise there, but you know what I mean, you're that experienced head now, and you're also the captain. Because of your journey and what you've learned in that journey, what are you saying to those lads now about what they should be doing and how, where they should be looking with their career?
I do feel a responsibility, you know, as captain of the team, to make sure that the younger players coming through have a platform to perform. You know, I want them to feel comfortable, I want them to come and be able to express themselves and perform to the best of the ability, because the ability that they have and possess is frightening. So I want them to be able to do that, but at the same time, I want them to work just as hard, and if not harder than everybody else. And when I look around the squad and the leaders that we've got in the group, it's pretty easy for them to follow a good example, or good examples of the different players and where they are in the career now, and what they've done to get there. I think the young lads can appreciate that, and they see day in, day out what goes in there to being a top player and a top professional. So it's about leading by example. And if we see me or other figures in the leaders in the team see that that they don't quite like something, or they think they need to speak to them, then that's no problem. You know, you speak to them, you pull them, or you tell them what you expect, and you try and help them as much as you can. You know, it's about getting the balance between, at times I think you need to be hard on them, you know, and they need to experience that, but at the same time you need to know when to put the arm around them, and they need a little bit of loving to bring the confidence out, and to make sure that they're in a good place to perform as well. So they're in a really good place, I'll say that, you know, the team and the football club, everybody, the manager, they're in a really good place to learn and to progress. And I've got no doubt the younger players coming up will be top players. They are now, but they've still got a long way to go to get to some of the levels that some of the players are already at in this team. So to be training with them every day and learning from them, there's no better place to be.
And what about if you're trying to sort of help to tease out leadership skills? Because again, that's obviously something you will have worked on. I mean, I still, in a way, think, you know, wow, how hard was it to take the armband from Steven Gerrard? You know, you must have known yourself that the world was then looking in, saying, okay, following that lad's footsteps. I mean, you've gone one better and won the Premier League now. You never, Stevie never managed that. But, you know, you've got the likes of Trent, who's out there and said, one day I want to manage. He probably said that as well. Hey, one day I want to captain Liverpool Football Club. You've done it. You've done it now for some time. You know, again, what kind of advice should you be passing on about what that means and what makes a good captain?
I think captains come in all forms. You know, I think people lead in different ways. So when I took over the captain's role of Stevie, I never once thought that I was replacing him, or I wanted to be a better captain. I knew that there's only ever one Steven Gerrard at this football club, who's so special, so unique, and what he'd done in his career, no one else will ever do, really. And there's no getting away from that, there's no hiding from that. I knew that, but for me it wasn't about that. You know, I've been given the role for a reason, and for me it was about doing everything I could to help the team become better, lead by example, and help the players in any way I could, you know, be there for them all the time. I knew what it meant as a responsibility as a football club as well. So I knew it was a big ask, but at the same time I felt confident enough that, yeah, not to get caught up on what everybody else would be thinking about Stevie, but just to concentrate on what was important, and that was what I could control within the dressing room and training, and leading by example and helping the players around us and helping the team become better. That's all my focus was on, really. And in terms of Trent, I think he knows this football club better than anyone, you know, so I don't need to tell him how much it means to the fans and what you need to do to become a leader of this football club. Because I wear the armband on a Saturday, there's so many other leaders within the team, and we lead in different ways, but we're just as important as each other, you know. I may get all the glory of leading this team and lifting the trophy, but actually behind the scenes it's not just me, you know, there's so many other players that lead by example and have helped lead this group to this point. I think leaders come in all different forms and you lead in different ways. The way that I try and lead will be totally different to the way maybe Trent does or he will in the future, or the way Stevie did when he was here, totally different ways. So it's about just finding the right thing for you and improving, growing as a person, growing as a player, but ultimately having the responsibility of the football club and giving everything you can for it and the team as well. And if you do that, then you can have no regrets. And I think there's plenty of leaders within our team, so I could go through and they all lead in different ways, and that is really important in a successful team. If you look at really successful teams, you can see they've got 4, 5, 6 minimum leaders within that group. And I certainly look at us now and we've certainly got that. We've got young players coming through like likes of Trent, Robbo, who are young players but also leaders in their own way, and they'll just develop and grow and that'll develop itself. But I'll be really looking forward to seeing them mature and grow even more and improve even more. But it's down to me and a few more of the lads to demand and set the right example for them players to follow, and I'll try and do that as best I can.
During the crisis, the pandemic, you've taken a leadership role with a number of other Premier League captains and had a, it seems as though I'm intrigued by not necessarily how that worked, that's almost your private business, but more that sort of the idea of wanting to be seen to be in a public sort of sense as a group leading, and that wanting to make a demonstrable sort of contribution to what's happening in life and what was happening around. Did you feel as though you got to know a lot of your fellow professionals better during all that? Because it seems to me a really strange thing. You must go season by season. Everything happens as it normally does, and then all of a sudden everything stops for you and you're all talking to one another. Did you feel as though with those different people, those different personalities, all of those little groupings, was it interesting to almost work with them on the project that you've worked on in terms of raising some money and looking at how you can contribute in general to society?
Yeah, I would say that, yeah, definitely. You get to know each other better especially when you're on the phone non-stop for 2 months. You do get to know each other a little bit better. But I would say, the captains were incredible, every single club. Not only the captains, the representatives of the team, the players, everybody really, I really felt it was a big positive thing that we'd done over that period to give back and to help the people that needed help the most and that were fighting every single day on the front line. And for us, I think, of course, we raised a lot of money, which made a big difference. But the biggest thing was also the emotional aspect of it. I think everybody or a lot of people love football in the UK, and they look up to a lot of players, whether that's Liverpool or Arsenal or Man City, whoever it may be. There'll have been a lot of staff that looked up to footballers, and I felt as though the emotional side for us to be doing something for them and it to be reversed a little bit and us to be looking up to them, I think that really made a big impact on them emotionally, fighting, going in every day, realising that we're all behind them. I think that was the biggest thing, and that was something that we all felt was the most important thing, especially having spoken to Ellie, who was the CEO of the Charities Together. She said that made a huge impact on how people were affected in that time, really. So I think that's what we'll be most proud of, that we're come together to help the people that needed it the most.
Is it something you hope sustains, that idea of being able to work with fellow professionals at the minute before every single game? There's the taking of the knee as well to show that support, both inside and outside football. Is it something that you really hope does sustain beyond this 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time? You're still looking back on it, and it's an ongoing sort of process as to how footballers can be prominent within society?
Yeah, I think in times like this, this is the times where people need to come together, rivalry aside. You come together as a nation, but for us as players, we all come together, and I think that was something really powerful and really big. And I'm sure there'll be times in the future where we might need to come together again to help people. But that in this moment, it was it was the NHS staff who probably needed the most, who were working every day on the front line, and that's where we try to help. If you look at the Black Lives Matter movement as well, we all come together to do something to help raise awareness for that as well. So I'm sure there'll be things in the future where we can get together and help. But yeah, when you're on the pitch, there's still that rivalry. And you still want to win, but I do think over that period was big, because all the captains were fantastic. They all wanted the help. It was just how we did it. So we managed to find the right way, and I really think it's coming together in times like this is really important, and we did that.
I just wanted to ask you about what Jürgen said about you're not going to defend the title, you're going to attack the next one. Love that phrase, and it sort of harks back to stuff you've heard from Liverpool's history, where it's all, you know, the Ronnie Moran stuff about, you know, take a medal if you think you deserve one, but we want to go out now and win another one, almost forget it. I'm not quite behind that. I think we should go and enjoy this one first and let this season finish. But I just wondered, you know, you're obviously in there, you're central to the culture of Liverpool, you know, next to the manager, you're the captain. You know, what do you feel like the collective hunger is now to go on and win more and go on and win again and go again next season?
Yeah, I've always seen that, and that is really important, because it's so hard to go on and to keep pushing, especially when you've won big trophies. I've looked at teams in the past that have maybe won Premier League or Champions League, and next season they're nowhere to be seen. And that can happen, but for us, we need to make sure that doesn't happen. We need to make sure that you're staying hungry, you're doing everything you can, you're working just as hard, if not harder, to be better, to improve, and to want more. And I can definitely see that within this group of players. I definitely see it within the manager, and if the manager gets any sense of that, I'm telling you now, he'll... It'll soon get snapped in the bud. What's to say?
Nipped in the bud.
It'll soon get nipped in the bud with him, and with the players as well. You know, they'll not sit back. They'll want more, as you've seen in the past year. But we need to keep that goal. We need to stay hungry. We need that desire, and you need to play like you've won nothing, which we've always done, and that's what the gaffer said. He wants a team to play like they've won nothing ever before, and if you do that and you play with that hunger and that desire, then we'll always have half a chance with the quality and the talent we've got within the team. So yeah, it'll be a challenge for sure. You know, you can sometimes it can happen without you knowing about it, so it's up to us to make sure that we're doing everything we can to improve, to be better, listen to what the manager says, and if we do that, then we'll have another opportunity next season to be successful.
We can't hand you the award because of the circumstance, but that's all right. We'll find a way so that you can take it away and all of that. You've got another one to get over there on Wednesday night. I hope they've got plans as to how they're going to hand it to you, and you haven't just got to leave it alone for 3 days. Enjoy it, because it's been incredible, and just all of, you know, take that back to everyone. Just enjoy it like nothing on earth on Wednesday night. Obviously, hopefully we get a win, but, you know, that moment just welling.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, appreciate it. It really means a lot, especially the embodiment of Liverpool Football Club.
That's the one.
I couldn't want anything any more, really. So, yeah, thank you very much. It means a lot, I appreciate it.
Cheers, Jordan.
Thank you. Sports Social Podcast Network.